Welcome to Groundwire Community Radio News, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations.
This episode of Groundwire was produced at community radio station CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba, on Treaty 1 territory, the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe peoples and the homeland of the Métis Nation. We're your hosts. My name is Tanis Kelm.
And I am Stéphane Doucette. In this episode, an in-depth feature taking us from coast to coast to reflect on Election 42 and some of the local issues related to the federal election covered by Canada's community radio stations.
You'll also hear voices of the loved ones left behind by victims of police killings from a vigil on the International Day Against Police Brutality in Montreal.
Finally, producing radio station CKUW provides us with a community radio report about their upcoming student-powered radio marathon.
But first, here are the headlines.
Take Back the Night marches have been happening around the world since the 1970s to speak out against gender-based violence and take direct action against sexual violence by taking back the streets at night. Carly Forbes brings us live to this year's march in Thunder Bay.
Over 50 women identified people took to the streets on October 22nd to speak out and raise awareness about sexual violence in the Thunder Bay community. Onlookers cheered and honked their horns in support as the march wove its way through the downtown of the north side of Thunder Bay on traditional Fort William First Nations territory.
Women united will never be defeated. Women united will never be defeated. Women united will never be defeated.
Meanwhile, local men participated in a facilitated discussion to talk about their role as allies in ending gender-based violence.
2, 4, 6, 8, no more date rape!
2, 4, 6, 8, no more date rape!
2, 4, 6, 8, no more date rape!
Prior to the march, students and community members courageously shared their experiences of domestic violence, sexual assault, and rape. Sharon Johnson, founder of the Full Moon Memory Walk, an annual healing walk to honor the lives of missing and murdered Indigenous women, shared her story. Stephanie McLaurin also shared her story and played the Strong Woman song, and continued to drum and play traditional Anishinaabe songs during the march.
The Indigenous Law Student Association in Thunder Bay organized a rally and teach-in following the arbitrary detention of a 15-year-old First Nations student. J.L. Chung brings us this story from CILU.
Well, my name is Sherry Abatosswe. I'm a first-year law student at the Borealaskan Faculty of Law. We had come across a story about a young student from the north who had been arbitrarily detained by the police, and she had been very traumatized by the experience. So we had been at an Indigenous Law Students Association meeting at the law school, and we had talked about what we could do to help students like her that have come from the north, or, you know, even we had thought after, even just students and young students in general who don't know that they have rights. And we had decided to do the teach-in and rally. And we thought that a good place to do it too would be at the police station, so that you know, it's kind of stemming from the police, and we're hoping that they would we'd be able to get in contact with them, and they could help us to facilitate this further, letting the young people know what their rights are. So as far as the rally and teach-in too, what we did is we do have these cards that were donated by Anishinaabe ASCII Legal Services Corporation, which we very much appreciate that they were able to give us some of these cards. They say, if you're stopped by the police. And inside, it has a statement for police, what you can say to them and what your rights are. So we were hoping that we can distribute these cards to as many people as possible, and other people who do have them can let others know what their rights are and explain to them if they're ever detained by police or ever stopped anywhere on the streets. Because especially young people, and our concern was young people coming from the northern communities into town for the first time ever, that they don't know what their rights are. You know, they haven't come across any of these situations ever before.
A protest on the University of Winnipeg campus in early October left students questioning not only their safety in dealings with campus security, but also the appropriateness of having the Canadian Armed Forces actively recruiting on their or any university campus. CKUW's Michael Welch investigated the incident and brings us this report.
Just after noon on Tuesday, October 6th, a number of students on the University of Winnipeg campus took notice of military recruiters tabling outside the main floor cafeteria. Small number of these students hastily participated in a peaceful protest, holding signs and briefly chanting slogans. It was after the protest began to wind down that campus security got involved, some say in a heavy-handed and unacceptable way. Andrew Weinberg was one of those student protesters. He spoke about the experience the very next day on CKUW's morning news show, People of Interest.
It was not disruptive. It was not unlawful. It was not violent. We were not even preventing people who wanted to get to the table. We were simply trying to present the other side of the story. To their credit, the military recruiters themselves did not cause the conflict. In fact, the whole thing would have proceeded without conflict if not for the actions of the security, which was very heavy-handed, very escalating, very intimidating and threatening.
Peyton Veach is the president of the University of Winnipeg Students Association. Not only was he on the scene to try to mediate between the protesters and security, he was a participant in the demonstration.
I could vouch that each of the people involved was either a student or an alumnus of the University of Winnipeg, and that everyone was complying with the respectful working and learning environment policy. One of the essential purposes of security is to de-escalate situations that are escalating. I think security's role in this particular instance had precisely the opposite effect.
For Veach, this incident raises concerns not only about the safety and rights of students to express themselves freely without intimidation from campus security, but also about the appropriateness of Canada's armed forces recruiting within the university at a time when the military is increasingly engaged in aggressive actions abroad.
Increasingly, this federal government in particular has been establishing the armed forces as a symbol for these kind of aggressive militaristic values. And I think that that's ultimately what we're challenging. I know that there is an internal investigation that is underway currently, and I'm hopeful that whatever comes out of that investigation, this kind of response won't be repeated again.
Reporting from the University of Winnipeg campus in downtown Winnipeg on Treaty 1 territory, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, homeland of the Métis and traditional territory of the Niiwauk and the Nakota, this has been CKW's Michael Welch for Groundwire.
That's it for the headlines. We'll be right back after this.
Three kids built a bomb last week out of propane tanks and batteries. One got caught and two walked free. Three kids built a bomb last week. This town is dry, or so they say.
You just heard The Town from Richard Immon off 30 Days.
Now it's time for our feature stories. Community radio stations across Canada provided coverage of the federal elections for their local communities. We'll now go coast to coast with elections audio reflecting on some of the issues that matter most to the listeners.
After 10 years under the Harper government, this year's federal election saw a large-scale campaign to vote for anyone but Harper. The election saw the highest voter turnout in over 20 years. The voter turnout was higher than expected in some First Nations communities, where six of whom ran out of ballots. Throughout the elections campaign, Gennargi O'Sullivan provided extensive coverage of First Nations perspectives on CFRO Vancouver Co-op Radio in Coast Salish territories. Here's a clip from a show she did with Woody Morrison on October 13th.
When you speak about our way as opposed to the colonial way, it seems like we contradict ourselves when we engage ourselves in, you know, this election. You know, we have Perry Bellegarde who's saying, yeah, the indigenous vote's going to make the difference. We have Pawn Palmator saying, you know, we need to reinstate our own hereditary rights and title to the land, and by participating in this vote and this election, it sets us back in regaining our rights and title to the land by implementing our own governing system. You know, so a lot of First Nations people are having this inner struggle to vote or not to vote. Mm-hmm. You know, you said yourself that we have all these candidates, you know, from the Liberal to the Quans and, mm-hmm. I mean, the NDPs and the Green Party, you know, seems to look like a really good choice. NDP, yeah, the Liberals did this and that in the past, and they're promising this and they're promising that. And in the end, you know, when and whoever gets in, whether they follow through on those promises are questionable. And it always has been. It's always been the Indian that has been messed around with, right?
Well, the promises they make, they can't keep them themselves. There's always other people that have control of a lot of these things.
CJSF from British Columbia collected a number of interviews from the Rock the Indigenous Vote rally on October 16th. Here are a few of those voices.
We need to shake things up. We've had the same government for such a long time, and we haven't really seen any progression in Canada in a long time. And, you know, our voices need to be heard, because there's such a large Aboriginal population, too. It's a shame that we're not getting out there and voting. So that's what we're mostly all about, is go vote. Like, you know, research and go vote. Make your own decision at the polls.
A lot of the rhetoric out there is talking about middle class. I don't myself feel like I'm middle class. I've been the underdog my whole entire life, and I'm tired of those of us being shoved aside. I have 5 beautiful grandchildren now, and I need to do this work to ensure 50 years from now, when they're my age, they're not fighting the same fight that we are.
And guess what happens when you get organized? Guess what happens when you decide you're going to push the envelope, that this is not good enough anymore? The status quo in Canada is killing us, and we got to stop it on Monday, October 19th. This is your weapon. You don't need to be confrontational. You do not need to have to protest. You go to the polls and you make an X. Throw down your spear. Throw your spear down. If your enemy is taking away your country from you, take it back and vote.
CJSW Calgary produced a series of public service announcements to provide prospective voters with information on how and where to vote. In this clip, they answer the question, what has Elections Canada done to make voting accessible?
This is your CJSW election question, narrated by Hannah Hunter-Lubert, music courtesy of Poddington Bear. What has Elections Canada done to make voting accessible?
Elections Canada has a number of, first of all, individual voting tools that are designed to make voting easier for people who require help. So, for example, we've got voting screens that allow light to enter in so that you can see clearly when you're voting. You can request a magnifying glass. We have things like tactile and braille voting templates and braille lists of candidates, as well as large print lists of candidates. We also use an accessibility checklist that includes 35 criteria by which our polling locations are chosen. So, for example, we make sure that polling places are wheelchair accessible. So the list of these 35 criteria that we look for when setting up a polling place is available online if you want to have a look at that. Your voter information card is also going to have accessibility information for your polling station on it as well.
In Ottawa, on Algonquin territory, volunteers at CKDJ did an alternative elections broadcast. Here's a clip from that.
Welcome back to Alternative Election Night 2015. Going coast to coast to community radio stations across Canada, originating at the Observatory at Algonquin College in the nation's capital. Ray is with Acorn Ottawa, and he's a disability and poverty rights advocate. Another one of our panelists is Luke Smith. He's an LGBT radio show host, member of the Trans Equality Group here in Ottawa. Finally, an Inspire Award winner. She co-founded the youth organization's Assembly of Seven Generations and Youth for Northern Communities. She works regularly with the local Indigenous communities. Gabrielle Fayant. One of the topics that I wanted to bring up, I haven't had a chance yet, was a piece that Senator Art Eggleton did in the Huffington Post yesterday. And he asked this question. He said, why isn't anyone talking about poverty in this election? You want to start, Ray?
The thing that I kept noticing about the Liberal campaign was the middle class, the middle class, the middle class. And every now and then, Mr. Trudeau would add the phrase, and those striving to join the middle class, right? Yeah. Now, I don't have any ambition to be middle class. I would like to be a little bit less poor. I'd like to have a chance to get back into productive work and earning an income. Mm-hmm. I'd like some of the ridiculous injustices that fall on the low-income people to be sorted out so that people who are in the low-income levels don't necessarily want to be middle class. They want a little bit of dignity. They want to eat properly, have decent shelter, look after their kids, and so on. I am hoping and praying that Mr. Trudeau and his friends will look around and say, maybe we assumed that the middle class vote more heavily. Maybe we neglected the poor. Maybe a lot of the people who would want to advocate for the poor voted strategically, and we, to some degree, owe our power to them. Maybe mm-hmm. they'll see that.
Luke, you want to jump in there?
Oh, certainly. I mean, what has really, really motivated me this election? I'm also a student, and I remember, you know, in my first and second year having to wake up at 6 a.m. to work at Timmy's so I can feed myself for the rest of the week. And, you know, that's the reality a lot of students face. But what has really, like, really heartened me this year is that I have seen so many students get up and vote. And I'm sure we saw some students here in Algonquin also voting, which is fantastic. And as a result, I think Ottawa has gone almost entirely red. So that's a great outcome.
So resource, education, and murdered women. Three issues that we haven't really heard an awful lot about.
It's Indigenous women, girls, and two-spirited people. So it's not just the women. And these numbers are only numbers that came about since the 1980s. That doesn't even reflect the numbers since the early 1900s or beyond that. How many women were actually disposed of or were not cared for because of the way the system works with systemic racism embedded in it. We often hear about those two-spirited people that are put into these statistics. A large amount of those numbers include them, or don't even include them, actually. Sometimes they're not even counted for. So those numbers we have are just a small piece of the iceberg about the real situation that's happening here for our women and girls and two-spirited people. And, that education piece. Education for children on reserve is, I believe it's $1,000 less per child on reserve than a child in an urban setting. And then we don't even think about our urban Indigenous people. They often get lost in the cracks. And, you know, we need to really break these stereotypes that tuition is paid for Indigenous people, because it's not. We don't just get free taxes anywhere we go. So those stereotypes, they lead to racism and ignorance, and they need to be broken.
It remains to be seen what a Liberal majority under Justin Trudeau will mean for Canada's future. The Liberal Party has a lot of campaign promises to live up to, and is facing additional pressure from the Chief Commissioner of Human Rights to address the erosion of human rights in Canada. In a press release on October 20th, Commissioner Marie-Claude Landry stated that the new government needs to move swiftly to repeal legislation and reverse policies that promote discrimination and prejudice.
We would like to thank Gunarji O'Sullivan, the Alt Election Crew, at CKDJ, CJSW, and CJSF for providing us with the audio from that report. October 22nd was an International Day of Action Against Police Brutality. CKUT's Rose Woolhouse was at the Justice for Victims of Police Killings vigil in Montreal.
On October 22nd, crowds gathered outside the police station by Metro Laurier. It was a poignant place to hold the 6th annual commemorative vigil for justice for victims of police killings. With a backdrop of a group of red-capped policemen, family and friends of victims took to the microphone to share their stories. At one point, a woman, whose mother, Gladys Tollis, had been killed by a patrol police car, turned to the police standing behind her and pleaded for justice.
And I also found out that the brother of the cop that killed my mother was in charge of the heat. How wrong is that? But the Quebec government is telling me that's okay, there's nothing wrong with this case. Well, there is. This is conflict of interest, and this is why we're asking for an independent investigation into the death of my mother, Gladys Tollis.
It was a running theme through the speeches, the difficulty of obtaining justice. Another speaker, Jody, whose friend Danny was killed by 10 policemen on his front lawn, explained her feeling of disempowerment.
I now find myself feeling completely disempowered. I do not know what the next step ought to be. I have learned that part of the problem with impunity is exactly the red tape and dead ends that we as friends and family have to face. As of today, the people who murdered my friend remain on duty as usual. That nobody seems to care outside of Danny's circle has been a true loss of innocence for me and Danny's friends. In our 40s, when we thought ourselves cynical, we find that the world is even colder than we thought. Still, I promised his family I would not shut my big mouth, and I would keep telling his story to anyone who might listen. So that is why I came tonight. Hopeless, yet despite myself hopeful, someone will hear the story and care.
I spoke to Jody after the speeches and asked her what she felt needed to be changed to prevent more cases like this from happening.
I think it really comes down to training police officers. The way that they respond when people are in crisis is obviously flawed. I think they're not trained properly. They don't know how to de-escalate a situation. They need to learn how to help people in crisis without killing them.
I also asked Julie Mattson, whose father was killed by police, why she had chosen to speak out at the event.
The police, there's such a unity, there's such a brotherhood to protect themselves, and you know, I speak out just with the hopes to dismantle that a little bit.
But as the organizers of the event pointed out, the main reason of the gathering was to remember those who had lost their lives and show support for their families. Candles were handed round and the crowd stood for a minute of silence. After hearing such emotional accounts and personal stories, the moment was particularly moving.
I'm Rose Woolhouse, reporting for Groundwire from CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. If you would like to learn more about the issues talked about, please visit www.october22.org.
Now it's time for our community radio report.
On Tuesday, November 10th, University of Winnipeg-based CKUW will be hosting its fourth annual student-powered radio marathon. This event invites students and student groups to come up to the campus broadcaster and get a sense of what producing a radio show is all about. CKUW contributor Susan Hubert interviewed two individuals involved in organizing this year's event.
This is Susan Hubert with CKUW Radio 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. On Wednesday, October 21st, I spoke with Robin Erickson, program director at the radio station, and with Emily Epp, a student from the university. They were speaking about the student-powered radio marathon, which is happening on November 10th.
My name is Robin Erickson, and I'm the program director at CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. And the event is the fourth annual student-powered radio marathon. We partner with the UWSA, which is the Students Association on campus, to bring students and student groups onto the radio so that they have a mentored experience of being on the radio and expressing their opinions and ideas, interviewing people that they find interesting and inspirational, and playing a little bit of music that they love and want to share with listeners. So we preempt all of our regular scheduled programming for the day and open up the hours for students to sign up and come on and broadcast.
What kinds of things do they work with usually?
A lot of what student groups talk about is, you know, the activities of their student group, and that is very wide ranging. You know, the fun class here on campus is an activist group, and so they talk a lot about the activism that they do and why they choose to be active in certain ways on campus. The photo club, you know, is a very different group and gets together to practice shooting photography and sharing tips and tools. The Business Students Association is, again, a different group, and I would imagine they'll be talking a lot about what business administration is and if they have any special events coming up. So it really is a range. For us, it's a really important event that we're proud to host because there are a lot of students on campus who don't know that we exist and they don't recognize that they can plug in and talk about and share the activities that they do with their student groups or that they might be able to do a school project through the radio station. It's really exciting for us to be able to just engage the student body in a way that is kind of creative and fun and empowering ultimately to the students.
My name is Emily Epp. I am the Vice President of Internal Affairs at the University of Winnipeg Students Association. I'm also a fifth-year student. I'm studying Human Rights and Global Studies and also doing a double major in Conflict Resolution. I was on the marathon last year and I'm doing a segment again this year with some other friends of mine, and I'm looking forward to it. The group that I'm with, we're the Consent Culture Committee, and the group is working together to put on different events, focusing on creating a consent culture on campus, addressing issues of sexual assault against women, sexual violence. And so our segment that we'll be doing will be talking about different feminist issues, you know, having poetry and spoken word and songs and speakers and just different topics, different issues in feminism, specifically focusing on sexual violence and consent culture, creating a consent culture on our campus.
This is Susan Hubert with CKUW Radio 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
We'll be back after this short musical break. Please stay tuned.
Darkness like a soldier, take time only getting older.
You just heard Follow Through by Sheik Amin off of Light a Match.
That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced on Treaty 1 territory, on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe peoples and the homeland of the Métis Nation at CKUW in Winnipeg.
Music this week was by local performers Richard Immon and Sheik Amin.
Headlines this week were written by Jayal Chung, Carly Forbes, and Michael Welch.
We also thank Matt Woolish, CKDJ, Gunarji O'Sullivan, Rose Woolhouse, CJSW, CJSF, Susan Hubert, as well as Julian Cooper of CKUW for her technical assistance in putting together this week's program.
Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station. Download at groundwire.ncra.ca or find our latest episodes on rabble.ca. Groundwire is a project of the members of the National Campus and Community Radio Association.